Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Heavenly Father and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the words for our sermon today are those words from James chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer of act who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So far, our sermon text. And let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. The words that you have implanted into our hearts. We pray that by them you would lead us away from the deadly ways of this world to yourself in heaven. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I hate him. I hate my dad. He doesn't care. It's my life. I can do what I want. What do you say to a young man who's serious about never wanting to see his father again? Drugs are a terrible thing. The first thing that is taken away is your hearing. The ears are still there. They still work, but the connection to common sense is cut. Then the drugs affect the tongue. It's still there, but the tongue is inflamed with terrible words. And then goes the heart. An overdose of some drugs will just stop it in its tracks. But usually long before an overdose, the heart of love and compassion is stone dead. Could he not see that what he had was from his parents? The dimple on his chin, the first bike, the food on the table, the puppy dog, the roof over his head, the old station wagon. He would not listen to his father's loving words. They stung, and they should have. But that young man's ears were plugged. His tongue was on fire, and he cursed and swore at his dad, and in his heart he could not feel what his father was feeling. Not at all. All that he had been taken away from that miserable kid, and he didn't even know it. And he left. And the father could hound him no more. He was happy. He was on the streets without a place to live. Heroin was his home. And with no voice against him, he was free. He was in control. He got what he wanted. Heroin's a terrible thing. But there's a far worse thing, though, and it's more common than dirt and cheaper than air. And like crack cocaine hurts a baby, this stuff gets into babies and kills. Sin is this spiritual heroin, and we are born addicts of the stuff, and it kills us. And if you doubt me, I mean, you don't have any reason to take me at my word for it, but listen to your Father in heaven. He calls upon us to look into our hearts right now. This is between you and God, and between me and God. Do you listen to him like you should? When he calls out to you, do you hear him? Do you listen to his word when your pastor speaks it? Do you read it and mark it and learn it and take it to heart as we pray often? How many spend their time putting the priceless words of eternal life in their memory so that they can be used to help other people? Not many. Not enough. Never enough for any of us. Our ears seem plugged most of the time. We ought to be quick to listen, but we're not. And what about our tongues? God says, do not bear false testimony against your neighbor. He warns us that when we speak about other people, we should be saying only that which we know to be absolutely and perfectly true. Have any of us ever spoken something a certain way so that we can kind of sway people's opinions? Anybody ever been just downright mad and said something horrible? Or passed on a tasty morsel of gossip? And how about the second commandment? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. God wants his name applied only to the truth. But if we don't know his word well, then how can we say what's true? Some have even said, well, God will take everybody to heaven, for example. It's a common thought. Some have said, my name is on the books at the church, so I'm in, right? It's not true. God says so. Yet his name has been put on that falsehood, and it seems that our tongues are inflamed. We should be slow to speak, but often don't even think about what we're saying. And our hearts. Our hearts. Who can fathom just what's going on in our hearts? God warns us, love your neighbor as yourself. And anyone who does not do right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. And anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. And again he says, whatever you did not do for the least of these my brothers, you did not do for me. You should be slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. And yet sometimes don't we seethe and roar at, excuse me, at the most ridiculous things and often at the wrong people. Do you know that God says that anyone who does not discern the body and blood in the Lord's Supper is guilty of sinning against him? And that person would be eating and drinking to their judgment if they came up here to the Lord's Supper. You know that he says that. And yet why so much trouble in our hearts when we ought to say to someone who doesn't know the word enough yet, please don't come up today, just hold on, let me teach you first. Our hearts would rather avoid that tension and that trouble, and shame on us for our hard-heartedness. You see it? We're addicts, spiritual addicts. We'd rather be free to choose our own path. We'd rather be out of the house of God at times. Sin's more comfortable, especially when nobody else is paying attention. But God is calling out to you today through James. It's not a message of condemnation. It's a message of love. It's deadly serious. It's the voice of that Father who would reel us back from the brink of self-destruction He wants heaven for us, spiritual addicts. He doesn't want heroin for us. He doesn't want the everlasting separation of eternal death for us. He wants us back home where we belong. If any of you have ever dealt with drug addiction, either in yourself or in someone you love, you know how awful it feels to withdraw. The pain, the shakes, the stupid pleas that come from the mouth asking for the drug. Heroin withdrawal, they say, must feel worse than death, and a lot of addicts in withdrawal often think of suicide. God tells us to get rid of all moral filth. The lusts for power and prestige and pride, envy, all of it. Get rid of it all, but how? When I'm thinking straight, of course, I know that these things are wrong. And you do too. I desire to listen to God. I want to do what He commands. I really do, but when no one else is looking, and God's word is not ringing in my ears, then there are many sinful thoughts that just fly around in there, and sometimes deeds follow. We're not alone in this. The Apostle Paul described this same turmoil in his own heart. He said, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And he answers. Paul says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, through Jesus, God saves. Jesus is our rehab. In him, the addiction will be broken eventually. And in him, even now, God's law will not condemn us. You've probably noticed how celebrities can go into rehab and the courts kind of let them go without punishment for drug possession, while the guy on the street goes straight to jail. There's kind of a similarity here. For the sake of Jesus, God declares us not guilty because Jesus pleads our case before the judge. He doesn't condemn us. Because Jesus paid for all our transgressions, not with gold or silver, but with his own precious blood, God does not send us to the prison prepared for the devil and his evil angels. We have a new life, but it cannot be lived outside of Christ. We need to be in spiritual rehab every day. It's easy to say, but God says, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save. Humble yourself before God's word. Listen to him. He who gave hearing to the deaf has unplugged your spiritual ears. We shouldn't think that we know enough to quit studying the Bible hard and trying to commit its words to our memory, coming to church every week when it's at all possible. We shouldn't think that we're recovered enough to walk away from the Word and our counselor, the Holy Spirit, and the medicine of Holy Communion. We need them desperately. It's easy to think, well, I can just go next week. I'm confirmed, that's enough. I'm baptized, that's enough. But look at how you spend your time. We spend more time watching TV usually, or with our hobbies and leisure than we spend with God. Let us humble ourselves. We have a new life, not controlled by the things of this world, a new life forever. James reminds us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. We may falter, We do all the time. We stumble. We may rest on earthly things only to find them just crumbling away to dust. But where we truly will find rest is in the word of our God that never changes. He does love us. He says so. And nothing can change that unless we willfully push him out of our lives. We can do that, sadly. He loves us. And that statement should be with you always, ringing in your ears. He doesn't change. Whether we are living or dying, we rest on that truth. And even better, God says that in Christ, should our bodies die, we shall live again. And he gives us the proof in Christ, who died for us on the cross to pay for our sins, who rose on the third day from the dead. If we're in him, we too shall live forever with him. Because he lives, we too shall live, the scriptures say. Where he goes, there we will follow. That's what it says about our baptisms. We're connected to him. He's gone ahead to prepare a place in heaven for us, he says, and we follow. Doesn't matter if it hurts and we have to suffer a little, we follow. Doesn't matter if we have to suffer a lot, we follow. Doesn't matter if the sacrifice seems worse than death, we know that our Lord is good. We hear him calling, proclaiming his love for us, proclaiming heaven for us. Today, if you find yourself on that wide path that's leading to destruction, if you've heard God's word and wonder where to turn next, don't be afraid to look into the matter in the Bible, and don't be afraid to talk to me or a fellow Christian. Come to Bible study, come to church, hear the word of the Lord. Don't worry about feeling like you won't fit in. Don't worry about figuring out the right questions to ask. Don't worry about any of that. This isn't a place for one-upsmanship or know-it-alls. This isn't a place for perfect people. This is God's house where we gather to rehab in Christ, to humbly learn, all of us. Come in here and enjoy the new life that is forever in Christ. Come in here. God's promises never change. His gift is for you, eternal life in Christ. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.